Well, we have a Bible study. The Word of God, it's powerful. It's able to change us and mold us. And it's also able to encourage us. And we are in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And it is amazing. Would you open up there with me? I love this chapter. Such a good chapter. I was planning on possibly doing it on two sections, but it never works out that way because God has other plans. And we want His plans versus our plans because He has something for all of us. He has something for you. And when we come here with an open heart and just ears to hear what the Spirit of God says, listen, God will speak to you. And here's the thing, though. If we come in with a critical heart, then we won't hear God speaking to us. So we want to just say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear you. I want to hear what you have for my life. And Lord, and when we hear, we want to obey. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. You are so good to us. We love you. And Lord, would you continue the work you're doing here, Lord? Thank you for our brother John, Lord. Such a blessing. May you be with him, Lord, and Kristen, and just thank you for the work you're doing here. And Lord, may you just bless the teaching of your word. May you just, Lord, move in such a powerful way in the hearts of your people. May you pour out your spirit upon this place. Lord, may you stir up the gifts that you've given the body here, that their hearts would be stirred, that their spirit may be stirred, Lord, that the whole body would just be just on fire for you, Lord, that people would see this church and they would say, man, if I ever go to church, I'm going to go there because they are serious about the Word of God. They're serious about Jesus. They love Jesus. And so we thank you. We commit this time to you. And Lord, we have open hearts and open minds. And just wait to hear from you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, chapter 11. So just by way of reminder, I just want to get us back to where we're at, sort of in the context of it. In chapter 10, if you recall, the author, really the Holy Spirit, the man is just a vessel. But the Holy Spirit writes, he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And you know, speaking of this, I remember that the Hebrews wanted to go back. They wanted to leave Jesus and go back to Judaism. And so it's been this encouragement, don't do it. And all these examples of how Jesus is greater. And he says, listen, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And then he says, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Once again, this is in chapter 10, which tees us up to chapter 11, right? Endurance. And then, you know, of course, he tells us that the just shall live by faith. In verse 39 says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So all this, he says, this is not who you are. This is not who you are. You are those that, man, that the believe. That continue in the faith. Don't go that direction. And then he gives them an example. He gives us examples. And praise God for the examples that we have in the Bible. Because everyone here that we read about, they all have faults. Why? Because they're humans. And we're all, as human beings, we all have faults. So we have been going through this section. And at the very beginning, the author first gives us the definition of faith. Then he starts at the very beginning. He says that he framed the worlds. God framed the worlds. And he wants us to remember, if God can frame the worlds, create everything, speak everything into existence, everything else is easy. Everything else is easy. And last week we left off, really we read up to verse 30-35, but we just sort of read through it. And I mentioned to you that we were going to go back and do a deeper study. So that's what we're doing. So let's get a running start. Look at verse 24 with me. Verse 24, if you would, in your Bibles, follow along as God speaks to us through his word. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, who is invisible. Imagine this, this word here, he saw God who is invisible. He is assured of him. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. Now, as we just bring all that together, let me just give you a summary of it. I know we went over in depth last week, but by faith, Moses chose to suffer with his people rather than enjoy pleasures of Pharaoh's household. He said, Moses says, I choose the eternal rather than the temporal. And he was sure of the promises to come. He chose to identify with God's people and suffered with them rather than to be in Pharaoh's household, the most powerful man in the world at that time, as a prince. He says, I'd rather be with God's people. By faith, Moses obeyed the sprinkling, obeyed God when he said for the Passover, he said to sprinkle the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. He believed that those covered by the blood would be saved. By faith, he did that. By faith, Moses divided the sea, and by faith, the people of God walked through it and made it to the other side. And listen, us, the application for us, likewise, us, by faith, we're walking through this world, understanding that we're pilgrims and sojourners and that heaven is our home. By faith, we understand that we're heaven bound. Amen? Moses believed God in every way. Moses believed God and never went back to the old life. By faith, we believe God. Listen, we have been saved, and by faith, we're not going to go back to the old life. We're going to continue on walking with the Lord. We may stumble, we may have a hiccups, but by faith, we're going to continue walking with our Jesus. Amen? That brings us up to where we're at. Verse 30, finally. God's word says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. You may remember this section of scripture. It's Joshua 2 through 6. And listen, when Joshua comes across, first the angel of the Lord meets him across the river there. And later on it says it's God who meets him. And he gives him instructions in regards to Jericho and how to bring down those walls. And it wasn't instructions, charge them and the walls would fall down. It wasn't anything that we would think of. But what he told him was, hey, listen, go and march around this impenetrable wall for 6 days. And the seventh day, when you march around seven times. And God's going to bring down the walls. Think about that. Like, that goes against logic. Joshua obeyed God in something that seemed ridiculous, something that went against all logic, something that was impossible. But that's the whole point, right? That there's nothing impossible for God. So by faith, Joshua obeyed when it didn't make sense to do so, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And there may be some here today that there's some walls in your life, maybe in your marriage, that God wants to just bring down. Walls that you've set up, whether it is that you've been hurt in the past or just things that you do not allow the Lord in those areas. And the Lord says, those things need to come down. We set up these barriers for God, and God doesn't want that. He wants all of you. And listen, by faith, you can let those things go, and God will speak to you, and God will use your life. The second portion of the verse talks about Rahab. And in chapter 2, if you recall, Joshua sent two spies in there. Sent two spies into the city, and they stayed with Rahab. And the Bible tells us she was a harlot. Now, by faith, she hid them when the king of Jericho sent men after them. She hid them by faith believing that these are God's people. And she asked one thing. She said, would you spare me? And would you spare my family? But she said something interesting. She said that God, the Lord was God. She recognized that the Lord was God. Out of all the gods, all the things that they worshiped, she understood. And she, their reputation went before them. But it was really God's reputation that went before them. Now, Rahab is an Egyptian name, but she's in Canaan. And she's there, and she's the only one that's saved by faith. And so, by faith in the same fashion, listen, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. It's interesting that she's not only listed here in the Hall of Faith, but as we know in Matthew chapter 1, she's listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing that God would use this harlot, this Gentile, in the lineage. And it's amazing how God will use anyone, anyone. There's no limitations for him. And so, verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also David and Samuel and the prophets. So the author says, listen, I'm running out of time here. I don't have enough time to expound on all these guys here, these heroes of the faith that you know about. But we do. We have all Sunday. So we'll expound on it a little bit. Gideon, Judges chapter 6, chapter 6 through 8, we read of this man. And we're first introduced to Gideon. And what is this mighty man of God doing? He's hiding from the Midianites. He is hiding by the wine press. And those would be in a cave. And what's interesting is that although he is hiding from the Midianites, God sees him. And God has a plan for his life. Listen, maybe there's some out there that are hiding from God. But God sees you can't hide from God. Jonah tried it. Didn't work out too well for him. And so here he is. He's hiding from the Lord. And it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And I love the words that he says to him. He says, mighty man of valor. He says, you mighty man of valor. He is hiding. I mean, he would be known more as Super Chicken, right? Of the Old Testament there. He is. He's like, I don't want to deal with that. I am over here. I want nothing to do with these guys. And the Midianites, they were nomads. And they would come in and with camels and whatnot. And they would raid Israel. At this time, they were so far gone during the season. And they would come in and take their grain and leave them starving, the Bible says. And he was hiding. And after he calls them that, he says these words to him. Go in this might of yours. I want you to think about that. He says, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, if we left it there, that's like, whoa. In your might? The one who's hiding here? But then it says, have I not sent you? And that makes all the difference. When God sends you, it makes all the difference. It was a fact that God saw him as the man he would shape him into. And that's the thing about God. He sees us, and he sees the person that he wants to make us, mold us into. And we should be those that would be pliable in his hands. Lord, what would you have me do? How can I be more and more like you? It's amazing. And so we know what happens. We know the story, right? After hiding in this caves, and he's encouraged. He obeys, which is important. And even though he was a man that needed constant affirmation from the Lord, you recall he would lay out a fleece. If the Lord's really speaking to me, I'm going to lay out a fleece. If this is what you want me to do, never mind. He just appeared to him. Have you ever had an angel appear to you? I mean, that's all the evidence you need, right? And it's like, but I want more, Lord. I want more. He needed affirmation, and God worked with that, though. Listen, God meets us where we're at. And so, by faith, he obeyed, and when God told him to dwindle out his army from 30,000 to 300, he obeyed, and God gave him the victory. And he couldn't say, I did it. God did it. But then we have Barak, another interesting character. In the book of Judges, chapter 4 through 5, God had directed Barak to deploy troops, and he was to fight against Sisera. God told him, go up here, and you're to fight against them. But he had failed to do so, and so God sends Deborah, the prophetess, and she was also a judge, to rebuke Barak for not obeying. And he says, Barak, you need to go up there and do this. This is what God says. By the way, this paraphrase, that's my interpretation. You can read it on your own. And so what does Barak say? He says, fine, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go, I won't go. What a brave and valiant man, right? He's like, yeah, I will obey only if you go before me. And so Deborah says, I will go with you, but you will receive no glory from the Lord, because God's going to deliver Israel by the hand of a woman, she says. And yet God worked with that. God worked with that. Just a little faith and a whole lot of obedience. Even in that, God gave Barak the victory. Now, Gideon and Barak faltered in their faith, but they obeyed. God used the little faith that they had and grew them in their faith by testing them. These men are an encouragement to me personally, and I am sure to all of us here, because when we stumble in our faith, when we feel like, boy, Lord, all I can do is just hardly just pray. It's just a rough season, and I'm having a hard time just opening up my Bible. It's difficult. Listen, God meets us where we're at. And if we move in faith, here's the thing, is that we don't go by feelings. Feelings are not fact. Jesus is fact. He is true. And when we obey him, when we walk with him, God moves. And the power doesn't come from us, it comes from him. And so, God used these men, faulty men and women. But then we come to Samson. Had great hair, must have used Head and Shoulders. A Nazirite from birth. And here's the thing about Samson, right? He was a carnal man. He was a Nazirite who was, he was supposed to be set apart for God, but he violated his vow over and over and over. I mean, he did things as touching dead carcasses. He cut off his hair. Well, actually, he allowed a Gentile woman who he was not supposed to be married to cut off her hair. And he just played fast and loose. He had a problem with women, among other things. And really, he was looking for love in all the wrong places. And here's the thing about being carnal, that the flesh is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. And so Samson, he was supposed to be set aside for God, but generally he chose to please himself rather than to please God. But after sin left them bound and blind, Samson surrendered to the Lord and gave up his life to defeat the enemy. Once again, when we look at these heroes of the faith, what do we see? We see so much fault, so much failure, but then we see obedience. There will be stumbling in our lives. There will be issues in our lives. But will you obey God? Will you walk with him? Will you exercise the little faith that God has given you? But then we have Jephthah. Interesting story. If you guys are not familiar with it, I would encourage you to go back and read this, Judges 11 through 12. We read of this man, and this man was known as a mighty man of valor, but there was a problem. He was an illegitimate son, and so he was the son of a harlot. And so when his half-brothers grew up, they kicked him out and said, "You have no inheritance with us. Get out of here." He was rejected by his family. He was rejected by the world. The world told him that he was good for nothing. He didn't belong in the household. He was illegitimate. But that's not what God saw in him. God saw the same thing that he saw in Gideon, a mighty man of valor. And God used Jephthah to save Israel. All these things, they're nuggets in there for us. They reflect our lives. Some of these things, struggling with rejection. Maybe you're a person that needs affirmation all the time. And you're like, "Man, I'm just weak in this area." Well, we're going to talk about the weak in a minute. God uses that. Wherever it is that you're at, all these things are just natural things of the flesh. But those are obstacles for us, not for God. But then we come to David and Samuel and the prophets. Boy, we could go on about David for a long time. We did on Wednesdays. We went to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. Incredible. David, by faith, he slew Goliath and saved Israel. A teenager. You may say, "I'm too young. I'm too young to serve the Lord. I got all the things going on." Listen, I got school, and there's a lot of things to do out there. God says, "I can use you." He used David as a teenager to kill Goliath and saved Israel. And though he was anointed to be king, it would not be until another 16 years before he would actually be appointed king. He was anointed by God. But it took 16 years for God to fulfill that promise in his life. And so for 16 years, he was on the run, living in caves and in the desert, waiting on the promise of God. How long have you been waiting for the promise of God? 16 years? Maybe 25 years, like Abraham. God will fulfill his promise. And David waited, and God used every bit of that time, every bit of those 16 years, to mold him into a godly leader. David needed to go to the school of hard knocks. He needed to go to the seminary of the desert. And when God finished molding him and shaping him, it was a continuous thing, but he was appointed king. And God used him mightily and kept this promise. And by faith, he waited, even when he had the opportunity to speed up the process. You may remember that David had the opportunity to kill Saul twice. On two occasions, he had the opportunity to go and get rid of him. And in fact, his men encouraged him to. But he says, "No, I will not do that. That is the God's anointing, and I will not touch a hair on his head." David waited for God's timing. God's timing is the best timing. God doesn't need any of our help. He chose to wait on God. But then we have Samuel, who faithfully served God from his childhood, even while living with corrupt priests. He was a little boy in a house that were wolves dressed as sheep, taking advantage of God's people, these priests that were doing horrific things. You can go back and read it. They were taking from God's people and among other things. It had gone so far off, but yet in that environment, he served God from his childhood. And he endured and brought the nation back to God at a time when everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, the Bible said. And there was that transition from the judges onto kings in the royal dynasty of David. It started with Saul, but it goes on to David, and it goes on to King Solomon and so forth, and Rehoboam, and it continues on. And then we have the prophets. I love Isaiah. He unapologetically spoke the truth to power, knowing that it may cost him his life. And it did. It cost Isaiah's life. What about Jeremiah? Think about Jeremiah. For over 40 years, he preached the word of God. He warned them. He prophesied. He says, you need to repent because God is going to bring the Babylonians. You need to change. You need to turn to God. And for 40 years, there was no fruit. The nation of Israel was so far gone that they said, no, we're going to continue doing what we're doing. And yet, by faith, he continued. But there was a point when Jeremiah came to the end of himself and he was frustrated, disappointed, and probably depressed. Have you ever been in that state? Maybe depressed, maybe just the winter blues, and you're just like, everything goes wrong. Even my cereal tasted bad this morning. The milk was, you're in that place that you see the bad in everything. There is nothing good in your life, and that's the way that you see it. And here's Jeremiah. He was truly suffering, and at this point, what his preaching got him was beatings and imprisonment, and in it all, he kept the faith. And when Pashur came to get him out of the stocks because he was thrown in prison for preaching the word of God, Jeremiah, he didn't recant as he wanted him to. He wanted him to change his tune, to say something different. Jeremiah, that is not what God says. I want you to tell the people what they want to hear. And Jeremiah says, no, I will speak the truth. I will speak God's word. Jeremiah would not. He stayed true to God's word and preached the same message. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 6 with me. I'm going to read a little bit of a very good portion of this. These are heroes of the faith. Men that and women that obeyed the Lord, that suffered and says, we're going to stand for the word of God. We're going to obey the Lord. We're not going to compromise the word of God. Because it's easy to compromise the word of God. You can compromise the word of God in your life, with your friends, with those around us. Oh, I'm not real. No, I don't. I don't really believe that. Did God create all things? Well, I don't believe that. I believe it was some sort of explosion. Listen, God created all things. We should not be ashamed of that. And so here, once again, turning back to this portion of Scripture where Jeremiah was in a bad place, in verse 6, Jeremiah 20, verse 6 says, and you, Pashur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. You shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die and be buried there. That he's not getting the word that he wants, Pashur. That's not what Pashur wants to hear. He wants to hear that everything is going to be okay. And he says, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Jeremiah stands strong. And then he says in verse 7, notice, O Lord, you induced me. This is him just bearing his heart. And I was persuaded. You're stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me, for when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. He was being persecuted daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. Have you ever said that? I'm just not going to speak of God anymore. I am done sharing with people. God, everything's going wrong. And so he says, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Listen, the word of God, when we partake of the word of God, when we're walking with the Lord, and God has given us a calling, we can't shut it off. There are times that I'm saying, listen, I'm going to go over here. I'm just going to study. I'm not going to talk to anybody. Okay? I'm just not going to share with nobody today. And it's like God just put somebody in front of you. And you're like, okay, let me just, okay, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go study over here. The Word of God is something that should burn inside of us. It's powerful. It shapes us. It molds us. It's able to save. Man, Jeremiah says, I could not do anything about it. For I heard many mockings, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and I will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous. Let that sink in, you who test the righteous. Because we've been reading all about testing. How are you doing in the test that God gives over to you? How are you doing? Because you're going to continue doing the same test over and over and over again. He tests the righteous. And he tests us because he loves us and he wants to grow us. Turn back with me. We can continue going, but now I do feel like the writer of Hebrews that he says, time would not allow us to continue there. So let's go back to chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you would, with me. So all these heroes of the faith, all of these individuals, they were tested. And in the testing, their faith grew stronger. I know that all of us here have gone through things in our lives where it's been difficult. It's been hard. But man, God is so good. God is so good. There's only so much you can tell a person in so many different ways. The saying, trust God, he's got this. Trust God, he's got this. Now you can say it with such confidence and such affirmation and such conviction only when you live through it. Only when you've gone through it. Because you're thoroughly convinced. I am thoroughly convinced of God's goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his faithfulness. And that he comes through. As we walk with the Lord, he always shows up. He keeps us. Takes care of us. Now, in verses 33 through 35, we see what their faith accomplished. Take a look at those verses with me, and we'll see how much we can cover here. Who through faith, these men, these prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. Through faith. Notice now it changes by faith that to through faith they subdued kingdoms. Now, the result of Joshua's faith was that he lived a victorious life and conquered a good portion of the nations across the Jordan, as God has told him. He didn't completely conquer it all, but he did conquer a good portion, just as God had promised, because Joshua believed God. You know, when everybody left, when the Bible says when Moses was in the tabernacle of God, you know what Joshua would do? He would sleep outside the tent. He didn't want to go home. He wanted to stay near to the Lord. He says, I don't want to go. And God used that man. He wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, God gave him a promise. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 2, he tells him, "Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." That's a promise that he gave to Joshua. But he had to go and take it. It's already his, but the work was to be done in the sense that he needed to be obedient and go. David, by faith, conquered many of the surrounding kingdoms as well, including Jerusalem, which was considered impenetrable. By faith, they subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness and obtained promises. It says, Abel worked righteousness. By faith, he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch, before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Enoch, by faith, worked righteousness. And they obtained promises. Hebrews 6, that we went over a few months back, chapter 6, verse 15, in it we read that Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The author of Hebrews also tells us in chapter 10, verse 36, that we have need of endurance, as we read earlier, so that after we have done the will of God, we may receive the promise. God promised to build David a house, a royal dynasty by which the Messiah would come, and he did so. By faith, he obtained the promise, and by faith, we will obtain God's wonderful promise in our lives, now and in eternity. God keeps his promise. And you just believe God. I can't say that enough. Just believe God. Believe his word. Allow the word of God to have authority over your life, and your life will change. Our life changes. By faith, through faith, they stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Daniel chapter 6 tells us that when the king's official planned or plotted against Daniel and tricked the king, King Darius, into signing a decree indicating that anyone who would worship any other god, because they built a statue of him, that they were to be put to death. And so the king signed this reluctantly. But David stood on God's word and only worshiped the true and living God. And when he was thrown into the lion's den, God sent an angel and shut the mouths of those lions. This is what 1 Peter tells us. 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And as we stand strong in our faith, God shuts the mouth of that lion as well. Quench the violence of fire. We know Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they likewise, they stood on God's word. And when Nebuchadnezzar threatened to throw him into the fiery furnace, they said, "Hey, listen, you do what you got to do." He says, "Listen, the Lord is going to deliver us." And I love what they said. He said, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." By faith, they stood. Regardless of the penalties, they stood on God's word. And when they were bound and thrown into the fiery furnace, the Bible says that Jesus was in there with them, and the only thing that was burned was that which bound at them. And Jesus walked with them in the middle of the fire. Although we would have that kind of faith. Peter walked on water, but these men walked through fire by faith. And listen, by faith we'll finish this next week. Amen? Lord, we are so grateful to you. We're so grateful that all the examples you give us, and there are many, and so many we don't know about, are people that stumble. But it's you who upholds them. It's you who uses them. It's you, Lord, who desire to use us. He used these men with all their faults, all these women with all their faults, to show us, Lord, that you will use any of us with all our faults. As we turn to you, you will shape us, you will mold us, you will grow us. And Lord, you will test us that our faith may grow. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.